My guest today is Christine Fay, Resource Development and Cultural Affairs Manager at the City of Reno. We're talking about this year's Art Town Festival. Welcome, Christine.
Thank you very much, Dana. Glad to be here.
I'm happy to have you here because I love the work that you do with the Arts and Culture Commission here in our town, and we're getting ready for the 20th anniversary celebration of Art Town. You were there at the beginning in 1996. Now, you started as a planner for the City of Reno.
Right.
And then how did Arts and Culture come into that plan?
Actually, it was my great fortune. I was a junior planner at the time and was the historic preservation officer. So these two amazing women, Marcia Groudon and Kathy Bartlett, came to the city, came to my director, and said, we need an arts commission. And so the director said, who's interested in working on it? And I stuck my hand up first. So that's how I started.
You volunteered yourself.
I absolutely did, and have never regretted it.
When you were learning to become a planner or in college for planning, was arts, culture ever mentioned in the planning of a city?
Actually, in urban design, public art is very important, as is historic preservation. So my master's degree is actually in cultural resource management. It's land use planning with a specialization in cultural resource management and historic preservation. So for me, it was a natural next step to go look at public art especially, you know, and how it would help us grow our city. The other component is that I was raised by an artist. My father was a very fine artist. And so I was around it all the time. And artists, our house was filled with artists always. My father was a musician, but also a visual artist. And my mother had done theater. And so I just was surrounded by it. And it felt very natural to go and help, you know, our burgeoning arts community, which was really pretty solid at that time, especially in music and theater and dance. We had that nailed. We had visual arts going on, but not really any public art to speak of. And so that's really where I was able to sink my teeth in and try to affect change. The Arts Commission was formed 25 years ago, actually. They're celebrating, starting this summer, their 25th anniversary. So it was right after I came on board as a planner that we got to start the Arts Commission.
Now, what was the reception from the political atmosphere, the community? Did they think that arts and culture was going to be the big thing for us?
Oh, Dana, that's such a great question. No. I think the short answer would be not at that time. They didn't. They thought it was nice. They thought it was something good for quality of life. But they didn't at that time recognize the economic engine and business it could become. And that was the exciting thing about the work of – we had a variety of committees as we do now. And the Marketing Committee of the Arts and Culture Commission, which, by the way, back then was called City 2000.
I remember
City,
that.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
City being the acronym, Culture in the Year 2000. We had to change the name in 2000, of course. But
that was kind of short thinking,
yeah,
short-sighted thinking.
Well, you know, who knew? And so so what we did was the Marketing Committee – For 4 years, they had done something called the Midsummer Arts Fest, and it was really just a poster that Mark Curtis, who absolutely brilliant marketer and PR person, and the marketing committee said, what we ought to do is a showcase for the arts. Back then, we had a city council member who was very supportive, and her name is Candace Pierce. And Candace had kind of planted a bug in the year of the commission. Of course, Howard Rosenberg was on there at the time. And so a handful of them said, you know, we really need to do something. We thought of it as a sampler to really give people a chance to see all the arts that were offered that they might not know because they live in a silo of some sort. So maybe they're a music lover, but they didn't know that there were galleries, or maybe they're a visual artist and didn't know that we had an amazing dance community here. So that afforded us the opportunity to shine a light on all of those that first year. So in 1995, we started planning for the first one over the winter, which then, of course, became July of 1996.
And that was the very first Art Town Festival.
It was indeed.
Now, I understand the reaction was even greater than you would have ever imagined.
Oh, we were stunned, truly stunned. We thought that, three or 400 people might come overall. We thought each night we'd get, you know, 40, 50 people or something like that. Because we were basing it on how many people would come out for the municipal band, for instance. And The numbers grew and grew as the word spread. It was only 3 weeks long the first year, of course. We were lucky to have one or two things each day, and we thought we had really succeeded, and we had. When at the end of it all, Mark Curtis went to report to the city council, and I'll never forget, we had to schlep a TV over with a VCR. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember, on
yes.
a cart,
yes.
like we used to do, and we had to drag it across the street and up and over curbs to get it into council chambers. And he wanted to show just a really short snippet that had been put on the news. And they had gone out and interviewed people, and this one woman was interviewed, and they said to her, "So there's going to be an arts festival downtown. Would that get you to go downtown?" And she said, "There's nothing that would get me to go back downtown." And he stopped it with that frame of her face, and he said, "I'm happy to report that 30,000 people disagreed with her."
30,000 the first year?
In the first year.
That's a stunner. Were you prepared for that amount of people?
No.
I can imagine that just how wild that would have been.
It was, but you know, it was kind of, I tell this to people, we had brilliant people working on it and they did an amazing job, but it really was a handful of volunteers, myself included, because no one was paying me to do it. That was, you know, after work and in my own time. But it was so worth doing because I felt like Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney putting on a show. You know, every night something new happened that was a little bizarre, but was handled, and everybody just was so appreciative of the effort that was made. And we had the most amazing organizer the first year. I had met this young woman named Karen Craig at a Sierra Arts Foundation meeting, that joint meeting they had had with the Arts and Culture Commission. And, I mean, she knocked my socks off. And so I said to the commission, you know, we've got a little money that we could hire. We could contract someone to dog this because, of course, I had a whole full-time job.
Right.
In addition. And so we were able to hire her that first year for what was really a very small amount of money. And she just went off running. She was incredible. So between her and Mark Curtis doing the marketing and Howard Rosenberg being Howard Rosenberg, which is, you know, he moves mountains, as we all know. You know, it was bound to be successful. It really was.
And it continued every year after that.
Oh, gosh, and just got bigger and bigger and better and better. When we started, we hoped to bring residents back downtown. That was one of our goals. We wanted to showcase the arts, but we also wanted to invite residents to come back to the living room of their city, which is the River Corridor downtown. And we so far exceeded that as the years went on. Not only did, you know, everybody want to be down there, but, you know, we could barely handle the crowds some nights. There were nights that we all stood in the back saying, "We hope the island doesn't sink," because people were cheek to jowl in there, especially when we had the nights that we had the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Oh, my goodness. That would draw some crowds, and they had no personal space boundary issues. They just crammed on in there.
We're talking with Christine Fay from the city of Reno. She's resource development and cultural affairs manager for the city. Now, a minute ago, we were talking about it took a bit of convincing for people to understand that the economic benefit of this festival or of arts and culture would be something really fantastic for the city. Why was that such a hard sell?
I think that it was new for them. They understood cultural tourism, and they knew that people would travel for culture. And of course, they, you know, it was something that we all experienced because of the history in our area. So people knew that if you had something of interest, tourists would come as well. But that wasn't really our goal at the beginning. Our goal at the beginning was to introduce our own residents to the resources and the amazing breadth of arts and culture offerings that we had here. Later, we started to recognize it was in subsequent years, 2-3 years later, that we really realized that this could be an economic generator as well. We knew that the arts as an industry could be an economic generator. I mean, we knew that back in the mid-90s. But to be able to convince others of that, especially when at that time we want to remember we, you know, we had a primary industry which, you know, was really a lot of resources went to making sure that that primary industry continued, you know, and fair enough. But as times changed you know, government officials as well as business owners started recognizing there are other ways to enhance economic an economic industry here, arts and culture started to be noticed more. And that's when so many more sponsors came on board because they wanted to have their name associated with it. And they believed that it was a good thing to do. And we started seeing more and more tourists coming and people canceling their July vacation, which they had always taken with their kids, and moving it to August because they wanted to be here.
Tell us about the economic impact of this festival.
The festival's economic impact can be measured, I think, in a number of different ways. There's just the straight out numbers. They do surveys. UNR actually does the surveys for them. And it's in the $12+ million range for 31 days. But that doesn't get at the economic benefit from the community at large. It tells some of the picture, but not all of the picture, because the rest of the picture is the change in attitudes that I think we're starting to see across the nation and worldwide, probably, hopefully, about Reno and its identity, which that's one of those intangibles that will pay off in the future. And so when I look at the media buy, I'm every bit as interested in all of the donated media as well as the media buys, because that is where the story's being told. And let's face it, we have to go up against Reno 911 on television, for heaven's sake. So anything we can do to counter that and show that really Reno is really much more sophisticated, much hipper than a lot of people realize, and always has been. It's like a three-legged milk stool, right? You know, you have on one leg, you've got some of the most incredible recreation opportunities anywhere, even back then. Then on the next leg, you had gaming and tourism and entertainment in that really more showroom fashion. You also always had this underground arts and culture going on too. Well, now it's no longer underground. It is out there, front and center. I am so proud every time I hear an ad that says located in the heart of the Arts and Culture District, or you see another article about the cultural scene. And I think it's so funny because I've known about it for, you know, 26 years, but for some people it's new.
And surprising. Some people are really surprised.
I know. Some people are really surprised because of the impression they have.
Yeah.
And they might even be people who live here.
It's true. Now, we've been talking about what an asset arts and culture are to a community, the cultural life, the political life, the economic life for a city. What else can the arts do? What else could the arts do for Reno?
Oh, the arts can do so much for Reno. It's absolutely essential in raising our young people. The youngsters in our community that are exposed to art have higher levels of critical thinking. And as we attract, as we diversify our economy and we diversify our industry and our business climate, in order to attract the kind of businesses, those really excellent white-collar technical jobs, we have to have a skilled workforce that they can draw upon. And so often, when you think about the trailblazers that are starting to come here, like Tesla and Switch, and when Apple was talking about being here, and Patagonia for that matter, so many of these businesses that chose to come here, one of the things that they were impressed by is the diversity that we had and the potential for a strong workforce. We're talking about creative, skilled, technical people, whether or not they've got a bachelor's degree or they've got an associate's or they've got a technical, whatever it is, they need those people. And the arts allows or affords the opportunity for problem solving and critical thinking at every stage of the artistic endeavor. I don't care which artistic endeavor it is. You're constantly solving problems. And as you solve those problems, you learn new things and blaze new trails. And that's how the next idea comes. And I would love to see Reno become the next Silicon Valley. I really would. And the arts is one of the ways that we're going to be able to do that in our outstanding university. I'm so thankful for that.
Well, congratulations, and thank you for starting such a wonderful event, for being interested in bringing arts and culture into the planning of our city, and for sticking it out for over 20 years and making these things happen. This stuff doesn't happen without a lot of hard work from a lot of people, and I'm really, really proud to have you in our city.
Oh, thank you so much. That's very kind. Of course, I don't do any of this alone. I have had the most amazing volunteers who have supported and done all of this. I feel grateful that I've been able to move some boulders out of the way and obstacles out of the way so they could really do what they do well.
We're talking with Christine Fay from the city of Reno. It's the 20th anniversary of our Arts and Culture Fest. Events happening all across the city. You can find details and information at renoisarttown.com. Christine, thank you so much for coming in to let us know what's going on. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Dana. It's been a pleasure, and I hope to see everybody in the park.